From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
I get very thrilled when I interview a very famous guest, and I'm delighted to welcome back to John Hannam Meets Joan Armour Trading.
All right.
You've been a star for 40 years. Amazing, isn't it? Does it seem like 40 years or not?
No, it seems like 46.
Because, right.
Because that's
well, you've been in the business 46, but I think everybody's known you for certainly well over 40 years, haven't they?
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I started when I was 22, so that's 1972.
Yeah.
And the first album, critically acclaimed, but wasn't a big success by any stretch of the imagination. Second album, similarly. Third album, Love and Affection,
bang.
And then
Got
to Know Me.
You've got a brand new album called Not Too Far Away, and you're imminent to doing a British tour of 33 dates, I think it is that right? Unless it's increased.
Has no, it? 33 concerts, and it'll go all over the UK. Shorter tour than the last tour.
Yes, I've seen how many you did on the last tour.
Yeah, so this is probably one of the shortest tours I've ever done. The last tour was 235 concerts. This one is 66, something like that.
Right.
And I did the American tour, so I'm including the American tour. And when I tour America, it's usually practically every state, but this time I just did six cities, I think it was.
I've just come from the Shakespeare's Globe Theatre by the Thames, and Annette Badlin, the actress, said, "Where are you going next?" And I said, "To see Joan Armour Trading." She got really excited. She said, "We're both Brummies." I come over from the Isle of Wight. Last time we met, you won't remember this, but it was 2005 at the Portsmouth Guildhall. You had a new DVD at that time, I think.
Yes. Oh, so maybe that was... what's it called? All the Way From America, probably.
Yeah. And you're coming to the Isle of Wight, actually, Thursday, October the 4th, Shanklin Theatre.
Yes.
I think
I've
you've
played
been before.
There before. Yeah, played there before. That's a nice... It's a nice place to play. The audience is always nice. It's always really good. So I know I'll have a good time. Let's put it that way.
Did you get a chance to see much of the Isle of Wight or not, really?
Yes, I did a little bit of a tour... I can't remember if it was the last time I was there or the time before, but I did a little bit of a drive around and have a look at things the last time.
There's a lot to see.
Yeah.
You're a great survivor, really, aren't you? Because it's a tough business, isn't it? I mean, people come and go these days in 5 minutes, but you've been around for a long time, really.
Part of the answer to that is because of the audience. If they didn't follow me and kind of come to the shows and buy the albums and things like that, I wouldn't have a long career. So it's really all down to the audience liking what I do and kind of staying with me. And obviously new people coming along as well, because when you have a long career, there's people will either go off your music, don't want to know anymore, or might go to another country, or they might have children, just focus on something completely different. So you need new people to replace those people who sometimes, not necessarily because they don't like your music, it's just that they haven't got the time. And so any artist with a long career will have people who have been very loyal and followed them over years, but new people need to join in to make it work.
Last time we met, you said lots of punks used to come and see you at one stage, which was great. You don't mind as long as they come, do
no,
you? Really?
No, you know, the music is for everybody.
You thrive on work, Joan, don't you really?
I thrive on it? Yes, I do. I like to work. I like doing things. I give myself challenges along the way all the time, just to see what I can do, you know.
So that drives you on, a challenge to conquer a challenge, really, does it?
Yeah. I need to know that I can do something different every now and again. I was just saying just now that with most people, with a lot of people, when they're in a normal job, if I can put it like that, they wait until they're retired and then they take up all the things that they'd like to do. I'm doing it whilst I'm at work.
I know you came to Birmingham when you were about seven. I love a story, I know you tell this every time, about two prams and a guitar, but can you tell us? I just love it.
Yeah. I was I wanted a guitar. My father played the guitar, and he wouldn't let me play it. He hid it in what we called the cellar, which was a room at the side of the house. Great big, think of the bank vault doors, how heavy they would be. So this was like that. And when he would play the guitar after he'd finished, he'd hide it in that room. So as a young 14, 13-year-old, there's no way I could open that door once it was closed. And I think because he didn't want me to touch the guitar at all, I really wanted to play it. And then I saw a guitar in a pawn shop, cost £3. I said to my mum, can we have it? She said, well, we haven't got the money, but if they'll swap these two old prams, we can have it, which is how I got my first guitar, which I still have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I know you wrote a song called When I Was Young when you were about 14, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't know anything about that song.
Don't play it anymore, do you?
I don't know it. I mean, I remember the title. Yeah. I remember the title, but I don't remember anything about how the song went or any of the words. And what on earth I'm saying at 14 about being when I was young is a bit weird.
There was a room you wanted to be a law student, was that?
I did. Yes, I did. I was very interested in the law. But, you know, music is what I was born to do. This is why I'm here. I think it's pretty obvious to me. So that went by the way. I didn't really get into it in any way at all, really. The music took over.
You could have had a TV show, Judge Joan Armitrading, couldn't you? That'd have been good, wouldn't it?
It would have. I love Judge Judy. I'm actually obsessed with Judge
How
Judy.
How are you?
Totally obsessed.
I know you kept your clothes on for hair, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. Probably the only person who did.
My good friend Paul Nicholas was in that, and yes, of course Richard O'Brien.
I was in the same company as Paul and
Were
Richard,
you?
Yes. And Richard was writing the Rocky Horror Show at the time.
Wow. He's done well on that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just goes and goes, doesn't it? They're both nice guys, aren't
Very
they?
Very nice guys.
I know initially you sort of teamed up with a poet, Pam Nestor, didn't you, to do with the first album?
Yeah, I started writing when I was 13, 14. I think I met Pam when I was 19. Anyway, she knew that I wrote songs and asked me one day to put some music to some words that she'd written. So a lot of songs on the first album were lyrics by Pam. But of course, I kept writing anyway, and my words on the album as well. But after that first album, I just continued on my own.
Because Gus Dudgeon was involved in your early album.
Yeah, he produced my first album. I was very lucky to meet somebody like Gus for my first album, because he at the time of meeting him, he was Elton John's producer. And Elton at that time was massive. And I think he was selling whatever percentage of all the records sold, Elton. And so Gus was a really influential producer. But he recognised that I knew what I wanted. And he didn't come in saying, you know, I'm the big deal producer and you just do what I say. He knew that I was pretty definite about what I wanted to do. And so he just made sure that that happened.
So he accepted your ideas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But in a really kind of friendly, nice, not condescending, just the kind of perfect way. Gus was a great chap. You know, we remained friends right up until his death. And he was just a good person for knowing how everything should be in the studio, good communications with the musicians, good engineering skills, making sure that things sounded right. But I'd go in with a song that was a complete song anyway, so I was never relying on the producer or the musicians to complete my song. So I went in with the verse, the chorus, the middle eight, the solo, the outro, whatever. However you hear the song, that's what I wrote.
I know your more recent albums, including the new one, you've sort of done virtually everything, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that sort of due to learning from people like him, really?
Learning in as much as I could see how it was, but I don't know if it's anything to do with being a woman, but very often people don't want to show you how to do things. So if you say to somebody, and when I did my first record, it was the first time I'd gone into a studio, so I was just used to working on my cassette or whatever. But when you say to people, oh, this desk looks really complicated, what is it about? They'd say, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here and it takes a lot to get into it. So, you know, so they don't really tell you. That's the story that they give you. Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on here. There are all these knobs and look at them. And I'm trying to remember who it was. One engineer I said, well, can you show me what everything does? And he says, don't worry about seeing 32 tracks. He said, all you need to know is that one channel is repeated 32 times. And so that was the best thing that I can't even remember who it was. But he said, that's all you need to remember. One channel repeated 32 times. So all you got to do is learn what happens on that one channel. And then you're set. In those days, especially to do with patching and stuff like that. But that was the best piece of a thing that anybody gave me was that.
The third album, just called Joan, I'm a Trading, that was changed your life, really, because Love and Affection was on that one.
Yeah.
And it's a song which has been with you ever since. It's still popular, isn't it?
Yeah, very happy about that. That was done with Glyn Johns. And Glyn, kind of like Gus, knew that I knew what I wanted and knew that I knew what I was doing. So in the case of all the producers that I've worked with, I'm not relying on them to make my songs be what they are. But I am relying on them to introduce me to great musicians and make the sound really good. And like Gus, Glyn was a great engineer. So that was really nice working with Glyn on I think I did three albums with Glyn, actually. Mm. I did the Joan, I'm a Trading album, Shouting Stage and To the Limit. Yeah, it was great working with him. Very good.
You had 8 top 20 albums, which is great because real artists want people to buy albums because, you know, it's easier, isn't it? And there's more sort of scope for you to sing different sorts of songs.
Yeah, right? Well, when you're writing, you want to write lots of songs and you want people to hear lots of songs and relate to lots of songs. If you're a singer, maybe, well, no, I was going to say if you're a singer, maybe not. But if you're a singer, you want the same thing. You want people to relate to lots of what you're doing. So it's nice to have people know the albums.
I want to pick out a few special moments in your career. Obviously, you won an Ivor Novello Award and a BASCA Gold Badge you won as well, didn't you? So, looking back, great memories, eh?
Yeah. It's, you know, you sometimes hear people say they don't care about awards and it doesn't mean anything to them, but I think they're lying. Everybody wants to have an award.
Telling me.
It's nice. And it's just people saying, we appreciate what you've done and this is the way we can show that. So it's always good. And even just to be nominated, you'll sometimes hear people say it's just an honour to be nominated. And it's true. It's a really nice thing.
Well, you had 3 Grammy nominations and 2 Brit Award nominations. So really. And you've appeared at Carnegie Hall, haven't you?
Few times.
Yeah, that must be because it's one of those sort of special places, isn't it, really?
It's a great place to play. It's not my favourite place to play, even though I've played there quite a few times. It's
You were the first UK artist to top the Billboard Blues charts, weren't you?
Yes, I was, and that was a surprise because I would have thought, well, I was the first UK female artist.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a surprise. I would have thought somebody else would have done it. But, no, this is what the Billboard's thing said. So that's pretty good. And first to be nominated for a Grammy in the blues category as well. So that was nice.
Joan, you must have influenced a lot of people because you were sort of the first sort of black singer-songwriter to gain international fame. So you must have inspired lots of singers over the years.
I'm told that.
I know you're very modest. Prince's Trust, you got involved with that, didn't you?
Yeah, the Prince's Trust I've been involved with since 1983. And I think he started the trust late 70s. And we did a concert at the Dominion Theatre, I think it was. And that was one of the first Prince's Trust concerts that we did. And myself, Kate Bush, Pete Townsend, Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson, all of us were on this. I think Madness might have done it as well, actually. I did another one at Wembley Arena of the Prince's Trust, and that had myself, Eric Clapton, Tina Turner, Paul McCartney, Mark Knopfler, I think, was there, Phil Collins.
I think Mark King was there,
yeah.
He lives on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
So that was a great lineup. And there's a really nice photo of me sitting on Paul McCartney's knee.
Is there?
David Bailey. So
did
it's
he?
A great, yeah, it's a great picture.
I bet that's on your wall, is it?
No, I don't. I don't put stuff up with myself.
You've written songs about Nelson Mandela, and you also wrote the Wild Geese theme, didn't you?
I did, yeah, that was great. I was asked to do that, and I saw the film. I must have seen the film before everybody else, because I saw it in order to write the thing.
Good film.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
It's a very popular film.
Still is.
Still is, yeah. And I get quite a lot of emails about people liking the song and get a lot of requests to sing the song in the on the tour. I've never performed it live, though.
You got a BA Honours in history, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worked very hard for that. 5 years of studying and taking exams and getting it right and passing them and then going up at the Queen Elizabeth Hall to get my degree with everybody else.
Wow.
It was lovely.
Did you have your cap on?
Yeah. You had the whole thing going on. And, you know, I've got lots of honorary degrees. I think I've got about, like, 7 other honorary degrees. But this is my pride and joy because this is something I worked hard for. You know, it's great getting the honorary degrees, and I'm really happy that they thought about me and put it to the committee, and the committee kind of talked about it, and then they said, yes, let's do it. That's really nice. But you can't beat working for something.
Yesterday, I was out running, and your lovely PR lady, Judy Totten, rang me. She couldn't get me, actually, and she couldn't believe I was running. But I wouldn't want to run with you because you did a marathon 2008, didn't you?
I did do a marathon. I was 58 then, raised £75,000. I was running with another person, and it was great. You'll never see New York like that unless you're running.
Hmm.
Because the streets are just, you know, obviously no cars, and it's just people just charging down the streets. But you get to look at all the buildings and kind of admire where you were. And we went, so as soon as you come out of the park, you go over this bridge that I can never remember the name of, and it's the most spectacular view running over this bridge. It's magical. We were in the park from 4 o'clock. Absolutely freezing, and we all had the silver things, you know, around you, and then you get into your groups, and then you start off, and it's just gorgeous. And then you have another proud moment, very proud moment, when you come over the tape line, hands in the air, and then you get your medal. Gorgeous feeling.
On the way up on the train, I was thinking about comics. I used to get the Eagle.
All right, yes.
Was there one called The Lion, or was I dreaming?
I think there was one called The Lion.
I can remember getting the first issue of that.
Yeah.
I haven't got it anymore, unfortunately. But you like comics, don't you?
I love comics, yes. I get, not so much these days, but I still get the annuals annually. So I still get the Beano and the Dandy and Bunty, Judy, all those things. But I have comics like The Wizard and Chips, Cheeky, Judy, Bundy, Dandy, and American comics as well. Whatever's going, I'll collect some African comics, some Japanese comics, some Australian comics. Whatever's going, I'll have a look at it.
Right, your new album then. That's all your own songs, isn't it?
Yes, as usual, yes.
Sort of self-contained because, once again, you've done everything virtually, haven't you?
Yeah, it's all me.
So what are your hopes for this one? Because you're so successful with your albums, aren't you?
I should say it's already had a success, but I hope it continues to be successful and people continue to want to hear the songs and become attached to them. So it's got 10 songs on. The theme is sort of what I write about, which is how people connect with each other and how they express themselves to each other and the emotions. And so it starts with a song called I Like It When We're Together and ends with a song called Loving What You Hate. And it was written in exactly the order that you hear the album is the order that I wrote the songs. And I wrote all the words first, which is a first. I've never written all the words first for an album before. And I've really been enjoying how people have received it. Everybody says some really nice things about the music and the words and the singing.
I love listening to your albums because you sort of write from the heart, don't you? You don't write rubbish, Joan. You write. You have to think about it, don't you?
You think I don't write rubbish. Yeah, I like if you hear a song and you want to read the words away from the music, that you can get the expression still out of it. So I like to write words that have some sort of meaning. It's not to say that you can't have, you know, sometimes people will say it's very special what you do and it's all whatever and it, people are, and that's true, but the Birdie song is very special to a lot of people and you mustn't dismiss certain things just because you think they're trivial. You know, a lot of people, I'm just using the Birdie song as an example, but a lot of people will play that and it will remind them of a certain time when they were just blissfully happy. In fact, I spoke to somebody just the other day doing an interview and she told me that her friend has the Birdie song words on her wall because that's when she met her husband, who became her husband, that's the song they were listening to. You see, you've got to be careful.
Yes.
It's important that you don't dismiss things, you know.
You had a MBE in 2001.
I did. Very nice.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
I know you've done a lot for charity over the years, which is always nice when an artist puts something back.
Yeah, I think most artists want to do that, really. I think most artists are conscious that, you know, they're but four.
At the end of this interview, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to list some of your tour dates because you're going everywhere, aren't you, really?
Yep. It's full on.
Yes. So, any burning ambition or just keep working?
I've got burning ambitions, but I tend to keep those to myself.
Right. In case they don't happen. Or
yeah, I don't want people saying, have you done that yet?
So, looking back, you must have exceeded your wildest dreams, have you?
I think if I had those wildest dreams, I would have exceeded them. But I didn't think like that. You know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to be really famous and I want to be traveling the world and I want to be playing at Carnegie Hall or wherever. I didn't think like that. I just thought, I want to write really good songs that people want to connect to and want to sing and want to own and want it to be a part of their lives, which is what's happened. That's the most important part of it to me. So all the other bits, I wasn't really concentrating on that.
You've done well from Two Prams, haven't you, really?
I've done very well from Two Prams. Not a bad trade-off.
Can I wish your career continued success, and can I wish you great success with this new album called Not Too Far Away?
Thank you very much.
And good luck on the Isle of Wight on Thursday, October the 4th, Shanklin Theatre.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamade. That's right.
Grateful thanks to Joan Armour Trading. I'd also like to thank the Electric Airwave Studio in Foley Street, London, for making that interview possible. I did mention Joan's forthcoming tour. Take a deep breath. Here are the gigs: Milton Keynes, Westcliff-on-Sea, London's Barbican, Poole, Brighton, Exeter, Shrewsbury, Birmingham, Liverpool, York, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Gateshead, Oxford, Stevenage, Manchester, Hull, Cambridge, Bexhill-on-Sea, Bury St Edmunds, St Albans, Buxton, Coventry, Basingstoke, Guildford, Canterbury, Cardiff, Dublin and Belfast. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.